say, so today is Father's Day, and we already did it, but on the count of three, one more time, I want you to give it up for all the amazing dads in the room and online. Here we go, real strong. One, two, three. Yes, indeed. Happy Father's Day. Amen. The title of today's lesson is Godly Fathers Matter. Everybody say, Godly Fathers Matter. Today is a day to celebrate fathers and grandfathers and every man who has stepped into the role of leading and loving and protecting and teaching and helping others. And so we are just excited about today being Father's Day, and we're bringing the same energy on Father's Day that we bring on Mother's Day. And I guarantee you, fathers, that moms have an amazing day planned out, or they're figuring it out right now in Jesus' name. Amen. See, the world often measures men by titles and income and achievements and accomplishments, but God actually measures a man differently. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're not talking about being perfect, because fathers aren't perfect, and godly fathers aren't perfect. They're actually far from perfect, but godly fathers are faithful. And I really, matter of fact, my foundational text is 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter and the 13th verse. It says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And notice what verse 14 says. It says, do everything in love. Notice the balance that the Apostle Paul is giving as he writes to the church at Corinth. And he's saying, hey, I want you to be strong. I want you to stand firm. I want you to be courageous. He says, but at the same time, let everything you do be done in love. Because we found out, brothers, that real strength isn't found in power, but real strength is found in love. And so, how many points do you think Pastor has for you today? Three. You already know Pastor has three simple points to encourage fathers to walk in the Word of God as it relates to being a godly father. So, I've got three simple points that I know are going to be a blessing to dads on today. So, here we go. Let's jump right into it. Everybody say number one. Number one, fathers, your presence matters. Your presence matters. One of the greatest gifts a father can give is simply just being there, just being present. Your children may not remember every gift. They might not remember all the vacations, you know, but they are going to remember that you showed up. They're going to remember that the times where you wrestled and you played, or you showed up to their game. Like, they're going to remember those times. They're going to remember the times that the talks and the times that you listened. At the end of the day, kids remember when you're there. You got it. And so it's so important that you realize that, dads, your presence really matters. Sometimes I think, you know, as fathers, we spend our lives trying to do everything we can to be the best fathers we can, to be the best examples we can, and to provide for, you know, our family and our kids at the next level. Like, we're going to let our kids, you know, eat the last fry out the bag. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we're going to do that. You know, if they're still hungry and we're just touched our plate a little bit, we'll gladly slide ours over to them and just let them have it, right? And sometimes fathers think, you know, I wish I can do more, but many times it's not necessarily that your family needs you to do more. Sometimes they just need you. And so your presence, it really, really matters. The greatest words a child could really say about their father is that dad was there. I really think that presence matters more than presence. You got it? Y'all caught that, right? All right, don't make me spell it, all right? Even though I'm pretty sure I know how to spell it, all right? And so, but your presence matters more than presence. And so, that's something that was always very important to me as a father, being present for my children. I was blessed to have a father that was present for me. I remember my dad always being there. My father was a pastor as well. He traveled, you know, around the country preaching. It's kind of funny. I grew up, and then I became a pastor, and I traveled around the country preaching and those kind of things, but I always made sure that I was home, you know, a good deal of the time, and home for important things. You got it? And so I think being present always was important to me, because my dad was always present for me. It was important to me that I taught my kids how to ride bikes. You got it. It was important to me that I was the one that went in at night and checked under the bed for the boogeyman. Anybody else ever check under the bed or the closet for the boogeyman, right? Like, it was important to me that I did those kind of things. Not only did mom walk them into school on the first day, but I was able to be there to walk them into school on their first day. It was important to me, you know, and I began to think about, you know, just the different things as I was teaching this or preparing for this lesson, you know, I can look back and say, you know, I helped them open their first checking account. You know, I taught them how to balance a checkbook. I've learned in today's culture that most people don't balance checkbooks anymore. Did y'all know that? Yeah, because I was doing something a couple years ago, and I was trying to figure out the best way to show one of my kids versus the way I showed the others on how to check, balance checkbooks. I balance my checkbook every week, you know, sometimes twice a week. And so I started asking someone, they're like, oh, Pastor, I don't balance my checkbook. And I said, well, how do you balance? Oh, I don't balance. I'm like, how do y'all figure out what y'all got going on with your money? Praise the Lord. So anyways, but it was, you know, I taught them how to balance their checkbooks. You know, I taught them how to drive. Well, we hired someone to teach Jay how to drive because Jay wasn't really interested in driving. And, you know, we got in the car and we were all excited because, you know, he's turning when he got his permit, you know, and then he got his, so actually we were teaching him to drive when he got his permit. And Jay just was not into driving. It was just something he did not want to do. I was like, bud, when you get your license, now you and your friends, y'all can drive yourselves to basketball practice. Y'all can drive yourself, you know. And he was like, well, Dad, why would I need to drive myself if you can just drive me? And I was like, brother, man, you getting your license. The funny thing about it is after he got his license and realized there's freedom that comes with that, and I can go to my friend's house and pick this friend up and go to this house and pick this friend up and we can go downtown, you know, and those kind of things. Then he realized it was a really cool thing, but it took him a minute to get there. So I taught Hannah how to drive, and we hired someone to teach Jay how to drive. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I taught my kids, you know, how to shoot a gun. I taught them, you know, how to pray. I still pray with them to this day. I pray with them all the time. You know, Hannah is, you know, she graduated just a few weeks ago. She moved to Wilmington, got her own place, landed her an amazing job. They're like, boom, 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 just like that. You know, and so, you know, when she goes to work, she calls me, and, you know, I always say, well, can I pray with you before you go in? You know, and those kind of things, because it's important that we do those things. And so, you know, I taught them, you know, how God wants us to forgive others who hurt us. These are lessons that I taught my kids as they were young. So as they get older, they'll realize these are the things that God wants us to do. At the end of the day, as a father, I tried my best to teach them the ways of God. You got it. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter and the 6th verse says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. It says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And so God's instructions wasn't just about teaching them truth, but it was about being present so you could live that truth out to be an example to them. And I think that that's the most important thing, that dads, we're not trying to be perfect, but we just need to be present. You got it. I don't even think God is looking for perfection, but I do think that he's looking for progress. And even though my kids are home, even though my kids are not home anymore and they're out of the house, you know, and Lady and I are, what do they call that, babe? Empty nesters. You got it. It's so funny. When Hannah left for school, people were like worried about us. They're like, are y'all going to be okay? We're like, are we going to be all right? We're going to be real good, praise the Lord. And they're like, I'm telling you, because it's tough. It's a different world. And, you know, and I do believe you can experience that. We just didn't experience that. You know, because our kids still FaceTime us every single day, 4 or 5 times a day. So even though they weren't in the home, they were very present in our lives. You got it? And so, you know, and those kind of things. But even though that, you know, they're not in the home anymore and they're, you know, they're gone, you know, so to speak, we never stop being their fathers. We never stop being their dads. You know, we never stop being their parents. We're, you know, the roles change a little bit because it changes from, hey, go clean your room. Hey, do this to more of a mentor, even slash friendship kind of a thing as they get older. When they're young, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. And I'm really not trying to be your buddy right now because I'm trying to teach you the ways of God. Watch this, and how to handle things in life. You got it. You know, I was real honest with my kids. You know, I said, you know, it's unfortunate, but you're going to be in environments in real life where everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to treat you nice. And, you know, you can't be super sensitive. You're going to learn how to have thick skin. You know, you got to learn how to walk away sometime and not always respond to certain things. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to teach them the best I can. So that way, when they get out there, you know, that they can live life to the best of their abilities. And so, our greatest gift, fathers, is not for perfection, but our greatest gift is presence. And thank God for all the fathers who are there and continue to be there. And if you're a dad and you say, well, man, I wish I would. No, don't wish. Just start being. Does that make sense? Just right now, because like I said, we never stop being their dads. All right. So we said, number one, your presence matters. All right. Everybody say number two. Number two, fathers, your example matters. Children learn more from what we do than what we say. You know, before I even get into that, I love the video that they played for Father's Day. And the little kid is like, hey, I'm watching you. You know, I'm watching everything you do. The dad backs up and hits the car. There's nobody there. He could really have just drove away. But what kind of example would that have set to his child? You got it. So he says, I'm watching your integrity. As I was listening to the video, he says, when I get a career and I provide for my family, and so y'all didn't catch that. But he said, when I provide for my family, he said, I'm watching your work ethic. And so I don't think we understand that, you know, a lot of times, you know, not all the time. Everybody said, not all the time. Because I have friends who have raised their kids the right way, and maybe they just kind of veered off a little bit or did something they weren't supposed to, and it's not always a reflection. You know, sometimes kids do stuff that they catch from other people, not necessarily from their moms or their dads. But by and large, they catch a lot of stuff from us. If we do things we shouldn't do, how many know they'll end up doing things they shouldn't do? You got it. A lot of times, you know, kids, you know, they learn to treat people by the way, you know, their parents treat people. Yeah. You got it. They learn to cuss because they heard their parents cussing. Does that make sense? You know, and so I remember Jay had to be, oh, man, Jay wasn't old, maybe 3, 4, 5 years old, and we were living in Jacksonville, and we had 2 stories, and so Jay had made his way up the stairs, and it was kind of steep stairs, and it was kind of funny because he was downstairs, everything was going on, and then all of a sudden, everything got quiet. Parents already know when everything gets quiet, you got it. Even though that seems like that's the greatest thing in the world, you need to go looking, right? You need to go looking in all the rooms because when it's quiet, that means something's going on. So we looked in all the rooms downstairs. And so we said, well, maybe he made his way upstairs. So Jay had made his way all the way upstairs. He was in our master bathroom. Jay had gotten the shaving cream and he had gotten the razor and he was shaving himself. I mean, even had a little cut. You understand what I'm saying? But what am I saying? He saw Dad shaving. Every morning when he got up, he saw Dad shaving. And so, you know, something I just never thought about putting, you know. I mean, he was fine. I said he got a little cut. He was totally fine. But he thought that, you know, I saw Dad do it, so I'm going to do what I see Dad do. So our examples matter. Children learn more from what we do than what we say. You know, they watch, you know, to all the dads, you know, all the husbands, they watch how we treat our wives. They watch how we handle pressure. They watch how we respond to failure. They watch how we worship in church. They watch how we serve in church. They watch our integrity. Children watch. See, a father doesn't have to be perfect to be powerful. You got it. Some of the greatest lessons my children have learned were from me telling them, hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Or I shouldn't have raised my voice at you that way. Or dad shouldn't have done that. Sometimes that's the most powerful way that our children learn. Sometimes it's from me saying, hey, I was wrong in the area. Dad shouldn't have done that. Or I'm sorry for that. Or sometimes they learn from me saying, hey, let's pray about this. Or no, we walk by faith. You got it. We trust God. No, no, no. We don't back down. We lift our heads up. You got it. We know who we are and we know whose we are. And our examples, fathers, are preaching everyday sermons. And so the things we do are preaching everyday sermons, not just till they turn 18, but when they're 20 and 22 and 32 and 42. I still talk to my dad all the time. And, you know, and I still think I'm still learning from my dad. And so Proverbs, the 20th chapter and the 7th verse says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And so a father's integrity creates an example and a pattern that reaches far beyond his life. You know, I remember in the early days of when you know, God really just started blessing me in ministry, and I was preaching all over the country, and I mean, I was preaching at churches that had maybe 50 people, but I preached where there was 3,000 or 4,000 people there, you know, and so just being in back rooms and talking to bishops and apostles and those kind of things. And one thing I always remember was to carry myself the way I saw my dad carry himself every time we were going. You know, we were in Church of God in Christ, and although my father was a pastor, he was what they called the state evangelist. So he preached at all the churches, you know, in and out of Philadelphia and Harrisburg and all the big cities and those kind of things. And he always would let me go with him because I always wanted to go. And I didn't know back then that God was making sure that I saw an example before me. So that way, when my ministry started, I could watch this. I could do what I saw. Does that make sense? And so what happened was my father was always a humble person. You got it? My father was always someone where when he walked into somebody's church, he didn't try to take over their church. He understood this is their house. You got it? It's just a privilege for me to be there. You got it? He was very kind and nice to everybody he came into contact with. And so it was real easy for me to walk, you know, in the ministry and do those things because I saw my dad do it. Does that make sense? So your example matters, all right? Now, I just want the brothers to say this. And so, brothers, you got to have a strong voice. Say, my example matters. Oh, that's good. That was real good. Many fathers underestimate the power of their prayers. Many fathers do. But you have to understand, fathers, that there are some children that are walking with God today because of your prayers. There are some children today that are just living because of your prayers. There are some marriages that are still standing because a father prayed. There are some prodigals that have come home because a dad prayed. So you may not even always see immediate results, but heaven records every prayer, so dad should never stop praying. You got it. And so let's kind of rehearse. We said point number one. I may give y'all some change on the clock. I don't know. We'll see. Point number one, your presence matters. Yeah. Point number two, your example matters. And then point number three, your faithfulness matters. All right? Your faithfulness matters. We live in a world that rewards success. You got it? Let's just be honest. You got it? We live in a world, and I'm not knocking this. You got it? I'm just saying that God is a little bit different, you know? If you pull up in a nice car, people are like, ooh, that's a bad car right there. You got it. But if you just pull up in a regular car, they don't say anything. Now, that's okay. No problem. Those kind of things. But we live in a world that rewards success, but God rewards faithfulness. And I love that about God. You got it? And like I said, I'm not knocking cars. I got a nice car, so I'm not saying, but those things really don't matter because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. So you are not who you are because of a house you live in and a car you drive. And I praise God and I speak the blessings of God on your life. But what happens if you don't happen to live in something that somebody else doesn't live in? It doesn't make you less than anybody else. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen up in here. Does that make sense? You are who you are because of the relationship you have with the Father and the blood that Jesus shed for you. That's what makes you who you are, right? And so we live in a world that rewards success, but God rewards faithfulness. You got it? Because too many fathers are wondering, am I doing enough? Am I succeeding? Am I making a difference? But let me help you. If you're loving your family, you're doing enough. If you're working hard, you're doing enough. If you're seeking God for his guidance in your life, you're doing enough. If you're getting back up when you fall or you fail, you are doing enough. Does that make sense? You are making a difference because God honors faithfulness and God honors godly, faithful men. Give the Lord a big hand praise. And so I want to encourage every father to keep doing what you're doing, because what you're doing really matters, all right? Galatians 6 and 9, I'm going to ask all the fathers in the house to stand up while Maestro number one plays something, kind of just soft and hold it. She has an email address, and it's her name at WLCConline.com. So when we were at the staff retreat, she says, you know, you could just make it Maestro number one at WLCC.com. So you have to talk to Deb about that. All right. And so Galatians 6 and 9, do you see it? And today this is for every man. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good. And sometimes I don't know if you realize it, but you're doing really, really good. Because I know the weight of life and the pressures of life can be a lot. And you're always trying to handle this and trying to handle that. And a lot of times you're handling everybody else's stuff, and you're always the last person on the totem pole. You're the last person, you know, that because you're thinking about everybody else. But the writer says, don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you don't lose heart. And so to every father today, I want to challenge you to keep your head up. I want to challenge you to keep showing up. I want to challenge you to keep loving, to keep leading, to keep praying, to keep believing. Because the seeds you are planting today, they might not even fully bloom for another 3 years or 5 years or 7 years. But what you're doing today, it absolutely matters. And so to every father, we want to say thank you. Thank you for every sacrifice no one saw. Thank you for every prayer that nobody heard. Thank you for every burden you carried that nobody even knew about. Thank you for every lesson you taught, even though maybe it wasn't appreciated at the time. For every time you showed up when it would have been easier not to. Today, we honor you, we celebrate you, and we thank God for you. And so, Father, I thank you for these brothers. And I just declare strength on top of strength, grace on top of grace, and increase on top of increase in their lives in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, I thank you for doing some special things in their lives just to encourage their faith. And so, Father, I thank you for every father that's in this room and online. And Father, I just thank you for their commitment to do their best, to simply be their best. That, Lord, you're not looking for perfection, but you see the progress in their lives. Just the fact that they're in the house of God on a Sunday morning says so much. And so, Father, I just thank you for blessing them and letting them know, Father, that they matter. That they absolutely matter more than maybe they even think. And so, Father, I thank you for strengthening every father. Because truth be told, sometimes fathers don't always get the appreciation that they really should get. But today we honor them, and we thank God for them, and we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise.